Welcome back to the Union Edge Laborist Talk Radio. I'm Angela Bachman. I'm here with Brittany Sheets and Dave Levine.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
So we are really excited to be back in studio after last weekend. We were in Chicago for the Next Up Summit. So we've got a special treat for you guys. We're going to kind of get a roundup of a lot of people that were there and find out what has happened since and what everyone took away from the summit. And we got a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun last 45 minutes or so. So we've lined up this afternoon several of my colleagues from the AFL-CIO's Young Worker Advisory Council who are going to be calling in from all across the country to kind of just give some of their final thoughts from the summit last weekend, and you know, we're gonna have some join the Friday fun here on the show. So first up, I do believe we have my brother Courtney Jenkins from the American Postal Workers Union in Baltimore. What's happening, CJ?
Possibly.
You there?
CJ, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you just fine, brother. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Thanks for joining us.
I'm great. I'm kind of having withdrawals from the Next Up Summit.
Yeah, we all are.
That's what we were saying. Who posted? Was it Melinda that posted something about postpartum? Like Next Up postpartum?
Postpartum from the summit, yeah. Absolutely.
I can believe it. I mean, that atmosphere there was awesome. It just made me so excited.
So much energy.
I know.
Absolutely. So tell us what's going on, what you brought back with you and what you've been hearing from everyone since you've been home.
Well, everyone I've talked to about the summit has just, you know, said it was amazing. You know, like that euphoric feeling that you had, you know, we're kind of coming down from right now. But I had so many Facebook friends, you know what I mean? It was kind of like I compared the summit to actually like live social networking, you know what I mean, where we're actually with each other, you know, sharing information, just talking, meeting people, catching up with old friends. You know, it was great. It was great. Everything I've heard has been positive.
I was going to say, you're kind of like the social media king of our bunch.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been seeing some really great social media reaction, but what have you been seeing? I mean, from what I've seen, everything's been like super positive. Like I said, I know you Facebook a little bit more than I do, admittedly. Would you say you probably agree with that sentiment, or, you know, have you seen any backlash? Even would be even the counter question to that.
Well, I haven't seen any backlash. There's absolutely been like a heightened social media presence as far as young workers go. I've seen some, you know, creative things, a lot of videos. I know that that meme's been floating around.
Yeah, we got memed. We got memed, that's right.
I didn't see this meme. I missed it.
I'll pull it up right now on my phone. So.
All right. But, we'll have to post that for everybody,
too. Yes, absolutely.
But go on.
Go ahead, CJ.
Yeah, it's just been great. Like I said, my social media friends have gone up, you know, and that's a good thing to be able to still share and keep in touch after the summit. You know, that was one of the most important things I wanted to focus on, was keeping those relationships and building those coalitions. I know you guys had someone from the DC CLC come on, and they spoke about the DC Young Trade Unions, and, you know, in Baltimore, it's important, like, those type of relationships are established, you know. So that's what we kind of took away from the summit, going back home and building those coalitions with other young worker groups, other community groups, you know, and just trying to push that platform for social and economic justice that we talk about.
Fantastic. What do you think was your favorite thing about the summit?
Oh, that's like asking someone to pick their favorite child. Like,
I would have thought you would have said from the party when Brother Torkelson showed you the white lion. I was trying to get him to come on the air today. I didn't get a chance to get a hold of him. I figured Rob teaching you to dance.
Shout out to Tork. That's my brother. He's taught us a new dance move. You know, so that probably was one of the best parts, because, you know, it's not just about talking about labor. It's also, we are young folks. We need, you know, that time to just let our hair down, you know, and have fun. You know, but definitely shout out to Brother Tork with the GMP. You know, that's another, you know, just building friendships. Like, from the first YWAC meeting back in August, you know, till now, I say, like, there have been relationships that have actually been built, friendships.
Absolutely.
You know, that's a great thing.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Anything else we should know?
I'm trying to start the Baltimore Young Trade Unionist group back up, and, you know, we're looking for, you know, energetic labor leaders and young workers who want to be a part of this new movement, you know, for social and economic justice, you know. So you guys can contact me at cjenkinsywack@gmail.com. That's cjenkins, J-E-N-K-I-N-S-W-Y-W-A-C, I'm sorry, .com, @gmail.com. You guys, but Dave, I can't wait to see you again, brother.
You got
it. Ladies, it was nice meeting you. I think we met on that at Reggie's that one night.
Yes, we did.
I did introduce you all at Reggie's.
Absolutely. You know, I'm definitely a listener. You know, I haven't subscribed to my podcast, so you got to do some great work. Thank you for having me on.
Appreciate it, thank you for joining us.
We'll catch you soon. Also, we have on the other line here, we have from IATSE Local 22 in D.C., Brother Paul Ken is with us. Paul, can you hear me, brother?
I sure can hear you, man. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How's things down in D.C. today, Paul?
It is cloudy. The traffic is every bit as stupid as you heard it was on the news. It is another beautiful day in the district, in the occupied territory of America, if you will.
Well,
sounds lovely.
I was going to say, yeah. How about just some thoughts with you, takeaways from the summit last week? I mean, aside from the fact that we're all bummed that it had to end and we're not still there, you know, positives coming out of it and things going forward.
I mean, yeah, there is a little bit of a postpartum, but there's got to be a come down from that because there was just so much positive momentum. There was just 1,000 people getting together and realizing that they weren't alone in the struggle. Because if you're young and you're trying to get something motivated, more often than not, rather than finding another motivated person around you, especially if it's one of those long runs at work, you're going to find that guy who's next to you saying, what does it matter? It's all going down the tube. That is there.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to see so many people who said, no, life is not completely crap. There is a way out. We can fix this. So that was one of the most important things I could get, because you get all this energy. You get all of this energy together, and if you have nowhere to direct it, it just sits there pooling at your feet. So when the spark comes, all that ends up happening is you get lit on fire. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That is so well said.
Absolutely. And you're such a good speaker. I spoke with you in the middle of the rally, in the middle of all of the shenanigans, and your minute little soliloquy was great then, too. So.
Did you make it inside? Because that must have been one of the greatest moments of Action Day.
Yeah, you guys didn't make it in the store, did you?
No.
I made it in, like, the first layer of doors.
Bless his heart. He managed to get in the face of the police officer and just continuously moving to the left, creating almost like an entrance gate situation, letting the rest of us through so we could continue our rally, making it all the way inside. My four brothers and sisters in the IA are all standing around. They didn't make it inside going, wow, this is a really cool day. Where's Paul?
Paul's inside where I had to pull him out so that the police didn't bust out the handcuffs.
Yeah, thank you, Dave, for making sure that I have avoided yet another zip tie arrest.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Hey,
angels do triple time to make sure that doesn't happen.
Liz Schuler was on my bus. I could not, like, in good conscience, go back on the bus and tell Liz that somebody got arrested on my watch. Like, I had to get everybody out of there.
Okay, it wouldn't have been the first time. I'm
sure it would. Far from the first time, Paul.
How many times?
I haven't been personally, but there was one day, I think about 4 years ago, the AFL-CIO put together a rally. Scott Walker was doing his first wave of Scott Walker things. And so we created a welcome wagon for him at whatever hotel it was he was in front of. They had to basically sneak him in through the back door under a blanket because there were so many people willing to come over and say hello. And then the march ended up coming off the sidewalk, into the street, past the White House. Up come the snipers. We go away from the White House. We head toward the Chamber of Commerce. And we're all like, let's not go into the Chamber of Commerce.
Oh,
and then a bunch of
my
union brothers and sisters decided that the best thing to do was to go into the Chamber of Commerce. And then they started slamming doors. And then we saw zip ties. And then it became a rugby scrum to keep the doors open so that we could get our brothers and sisters out. Nobody got arrested. And those zip ties went thankfully unused for yet another day. But it's one of those things you got to keep an eyeball out on. It's the joys of activism. You know what I mean?
Whose streets?
Our streets.
Whose streets?
Yeah, that's right.
Our streets, our supermarket, and the one guy who interrupted his own chant of, you know, this is Union territory, and then stopping for a free sample of Nutella.
That did actually happen. I did hear about. Oh my God, you were closer there.
That was one of those things. Everyone else got the good pictures. We got on the news, and then, like, the photos of what happened indoors start surfacing on social media, like, 3 days later. It's like,
we got memed. Come on now. We're big time now.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, we're serious business now. God help you all. The Liwak's coming for your throat.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, Paul, we got to take a short news break here, but thanks for joining us. 10 seconds. Any final words?
Always good to hear from you guys. See y'all soon.
Thanks, Paul.
Take care.
Take it easy, brother.
I'm Angela Bachman here with Brittany Sheets and Dave Levine on the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
I feel like I'm choking.
Prevent your child's next asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman.
Hey, hey.
And we have Dave Levine in studio.
Hey, girls. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, indeed. Dude, we are having like a lot of fun.
This is probably too much fun to have on the radio.
This is too much fun. Charles says that all the time. I'm having so much fun. You know, some people just want a lot of fun.
So much fun, they should arrest us. Oh, wait, they didn't last week.
We're having fun for everyone.
Let's not try to get people to arrest us.
Yeah, really.
Well, we came close last weekend.
There's no get out of jail fund. Anyways, so joining us right now, who do we have?
Yes, on the phone all the way from Houston, Texas, taking a break from negotiations is my brother Marcos Velez from the Steelworkers. Marcos, can you hear us?
Yes, sir. How's it going,
buddy? Brother, we're doing great. And thank you so much for taking a minute out of your negotiations. Folks, Marcos and his local, they've been on strike for quite a while now, and they're at the bargaining table. And he scheduled their break from bargaining today to come on the air and have a word with us. So we really appreciate you coming on the air with us today, Marcos.
Oh, we appreciate y'all giving us the opportunity.
Absolutely.
So first and foremost, I mean, just some final thoughts on the summit. I mean, you were there, of course. And so we're trying to get just kind of a roundup of what, you know, people got coming away from the summit, takeaways, work that's going on back at home now with the young worker groups. So, I mean, we're just curious to hear everybody's thoughts.
Man, everybody that I spoke with that came out of the summit, especially the guys out of our group, they were really impressed. I mean, it was a tremendous effort put forth by everybody that was involved in the planning and the execution of the summit. And everybody came out really well informed, really motivated, and they felt like, you know, I think people really wished it would have lasted longer. I mean, it was one of those things that you just couldn't get enough of the educational value out of the summit itself, you know?
I agree. I feel like that thing could have gone on for like a week. We left a day early, me and Angela, but I feel like in the 3 days we were there, we could have easily been there for a week and everyone still wouldn't have been able to cover everything they wanted to cover because there was so much awesome stuff to do. I mean, they had us running from what? Like, I swear, like sun up to sun down. Mm-hmm. There were days like we didn't get down to like 10 o'clock and they're still doing like workshops. And there's like that list of workshops was amazing. There were so many things we wanted to do. It was impossible to pick. It really was.
Yeah. And I mean, it was definitely a very good experience. I think a lot of people would have gone to every single session that was offered if there would have been enough time in the day, you know?
Oh, I totally agree.
Did you lead any workshops yourself?
I'm sorry?
Did you lead any workshops yourself?
I'm sorry. For some reason, my connection broke up.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah, it sounds like you guys have quite the crowd behind you there. Did you lead any workshops?
Oh, yeah. So I was on the Trans-Pacific Partnership workshop. And, you know, we basically just wanted to get the word out to everybody about what a terrible deal, you know, the TPP is going to be for American workers and, you know, how many jobs we lost with every last single trade deal that's ever been signed. And, you know, we just want to spread the word so that people can contact their congressmen and their senators and, you know, make the government aware that, you know, Trans-Pacific Partnership and any kind of fast-track legislation isn't something that American workers are interested in.
How was that received? Because it's very important, but also sort of a wonky issue. Do you think, how did you think people received it?
I think it was received well. I mean, you know, I think everyone understands that our economy does need trade, but it needs responsible trade. And I think the people that went away from the session were better educated on why the Trans-Pacific Partnership is not a good deal for American workers.
You know, I just read yesterday that the deal got put onto WikiLeaks. So I didn't get a chance to look at it yet. It's 56 pages long, but that's pretty cool.
The part that got leaked was really bad, actually.
Was it?
Ooh, I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah.
So So how are negotiations and everything going down there for you guys? I know you've all been really tied up on this. You've all been at it for a really long time, and we're supporting you all the best that we can. But is it going well? What are your thoughts on it?
Have you ever had a root canal?
Oh.
Ouch.
So it's one of them painful and slow processes that you have to go through. But it definitely has not been pleasant by any means. I mean, you know, the biggest message that we're trying to get out is we're not asking for anything, point blank, anything aside from the working conditions that we enjoyed when we walked out. I mean, you know, the attack on American workers is stronger than it's ever been before. And, you know, all we're fighting for is to return to the same working conditions that we walked away from when we were forced out on strike by the unfair labor practices that these companies have been exercising against our workers. And, you know, the company that we're bargaining with right now reported the highest profits they've ever reported ever this last quarter, and they still insist on cutting the benefits for the guys and, you know, not working with us to provide safer working conditions. So, I mean, it's been a long fight, but we're going to stay at it as long as we have to.
Wow. That just blows my mind. That to me is insane. That is terrible. I mean, you guys do such hard work and you do good work, and you're not asking for anything more. And the fact that they've had some of their highest grossing profits is just, that's almost sickening.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the hard part. I mean, you know, what we did ask was that they work with us so that our guys aren't working, you know, 16, 18 hours a day, 13, 14 days in a row. And we didn't feel like those were unreasonable demands. I mean, you know, we didn't go in there asking for anything that would cost them huge sums of money. I mean, and they're acting like we're asking for the moon, so. It makes it difficult, but, you know, we've got the community behind us and people understand why we're fighting this fight. I mean, you know, safe refineries are safe communities, and safe communities are safe places to raise your family, you know?
Definitely.
Awesome. Well, any last words here? We're going to be wrapping up here. We've probably got about a minute or so. Any last words for the listening audience?
No, we just want to thank everybody for all their support as far as the strike goes. And, you know, we want to thank everyone associated with the AFL-CIO for the summit. It was you know, an amazing opportunity, and we're glad we got to participate.
Yeah,
and brother, it was good to see you, and definitely good to see that you guys are holding steady down there and holding strong. And thanks for working your break from the table around being able to talk to us today. We really appreciate it.
No, I appreciate y'all. Sorry for all the noise. We're in a huge hotel, so.
Hey, man, but you know what? Noise means exciting. Noise means we got our numbers. It means we're staying together.
So exactly.
And shout out to everybody that's listening. If you guys are streaming down at the hall, I hope you guys were able to get it streaming down there, like you said.
Yes, sir. Local 227 in Houston, Texas.
227 in the house. Hope you guys are listening and enjoying the show today. You guys stay strong.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us. We've got a run, but I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman and Dave Levine, and you've been listening to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm John Whitehouse. Recently, FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, updated its requirements for state disaster mitigation plans to ensure they include consideration of climate change impacts. Here is how a Fox & Friends First co-host misrepresented the change.
FEMA holding disaster funds hostage, all in the name of global warming. The agency announcing that it will deny all disaster preparedness money to states with governors who don't incorporate global warming into their emergency plans starting next year. They will now have to report on how man-made global warming will impact their states.
But new guidelines will not affect money for relief after a disaster occurs. States seeking preparedness money will have to assess how climate change threatens their communities. Some states, including New York, have already started incorporating climate risk in their plans. For more on this and other stories, please visit MediaMatters.org.
Welcome back to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets with Angela Bachman.
Hello, happy Friday.
Happy Friday indeed. And we have Dave Levine with us. Dave.
Happy Friday.
Indeed. Happy Friday. We've been having all kinds of fun, you know, reliving our couple days. We were at Next Up Young Workers Summit last week, having all kinds of memories and talking about things we may have missed and everybody's kind of reporting in and giving their two cents of things that they liked and their favorite parts and talking about the actions. And who do we have up next?
Well, now on the phone, we have my sister who got to stay in Chicago because she lives there now, Erica Clements from UFCW. Erica, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. How's it going, sister?
It's going great. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, yes. So I want to start. Yeah, the UFCW action at the Next Up Summit was the biggest one, the most buses, and coincidentally, that's the campaign you're working on for UFCW. So tell us, I mean, as the organizer on it, your takeaways, and I understand you have some exciting news to report as far as follow up from it.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's definitely a campaign that I'm currently working on here in Chicago. Food for Less is actually a banner of the Kroger company. So in other states, it is Kroger. But here in Chicago, it's Food for Less. And it's one of their banners that is not organized, although their other Food for Less locations are. And then they have quite a few Krogers that are all over the U.S. that are organized. So what better way to capitalize on that with the Next Up Summit? We had 450 people, I believe it was, that came out. We started with the Fight for 15 at McDonald's, rallying around restaurant workers and their minimum wage increase, and then just all around respect. And then we marched down North Avenue, 450 deep, to the Food for Less on North Avenue, where we rallied, had a press conference. The automatic candidate that's running in that ward, she made an appearance there. And then it was just to show the solidarity. We had, you know, OPIU, we had USW there to just show their solidarity in helping these grocery workers fight for better wages and respect and to be unionized. And that's one thing that I'm loving about these actions that we're doing here in Chicago. Everybody is asking to be organized. They understand and realize that it's something that they definitely need for a better living, and they're demanding it from these big corporations. One awesome thing with the action was, you know, all of these young workers energized, amped up, just ready to just do whatever. They actually stormed in the store. I was loving it. They stormed in the store, marched around to where they made a presence, like, you know, showed those workers that wasn't able to come outside or hear what was going on outside. They actually saw the action in their store. So when they went into the store, it kind of like raised the eyebrow to a lot of those workers. You know, they've been constantly told that they're not allowed to organize. You can't talk to union. But with the Next Up Summit, we were able to really own in on those workers and really get their attention. So from Saturday till, I'll say, maybe Saturday to Sunday, we had quite a bit contact, self-identified Food for Less workers that reached out to us and wanted to know more about what's going on and how they can better their circumstances. So through all the tweets and the going into the store and everything that everyone did at the Next Up Summit, it's greatly appreciated, because the workers, they heard you. You know, they heard everyone loud and clear that this is something that they need for a better way of living. So this week I've been doing nothing but following up with those contacts and trying to, you know, really talk to more people. So I definitely appreciate everyone's help and stuff in the action.
That's awesome. And what I really loved about that action, because Angela and I were there, it was the solidarity from just general people in the area, people driving by. When we were marching down the street, at one point, there is a guy who stuck his head out of his window of his apartment. He just started chanting along with us. I'm like, oh, this is so cool. It was like, right, all the people at the intersections were just honking their horns and giving us thumbs up. And they're just like super pumped, and they really loved what we were doing.
And that just shows that, you know, not only does those Food for Less workers need that, but that community needs that. You know, if you have more people able to take care of their family, you have less violence going on in that community. So that's something that we really the community people to just join the march and be a part of what was going on and show their support.
I agree. And I agree. That's definitely exactly how I felt after the whole rally and just how the public reacted. And what I took away from it was definitely that that community, not just those workers, but the whole community just wants this and they need this. And they were really excited and appreciated that all of us came out and did this action for them on behalf.
Right, absolutely.
Eric, I was wondering one other thing. You had said some of the workers were supposed to be with us, and then they kind of just oddly enough got scheduled to work that day. And I assume, I would hope, or at least assume that some of them, when we went into the store, they were pumped up that we basically breached and we were there. Have you talked to any of them subsequent to the action?
Yeah, so the guy that was actually supposed to be at the rally, he was actually out in the parking lot, you know, during the rally, getting carts and stuff, and he felt the presence. I loved how the young workers saw that he was a Food for Less worker, not even knowing that that's,
That was one of your leaders.
Right. They went up to him, and they was talking to him, and they was telling them, you know, it's okay to talk to the union. It's okay to want to live better. It's okay. And made him feel very comfortable, you know, very comfortable. And that's with all of the other people that have followed up with us or that we've spoken to. There's a comfort level that has been, like, lifted off their shoulders. You know, a lot of people fearful of losing their jobs. But they have that comfort level now because of what we did through the Next Up Summit. They're excited about it.
That's so awesome. And I love that that was the reaction that they had, because that's exactly what we wanted to do. And that just makes me so just overjoyed.
Makes you want to do it again.
I know. It does. It makes me want to go out and do it everywhere.
Right. Well, you guys are all welcome to come back. There's 14 stores here in Chicago, so you all can come on back.
Don't tempt us. We're looking at each other like, maybe. When are we planning on going? No, we're thinking about it already.
Do you want to tell us anything about what you guys have planned for the future?
Right now, we're just working on building with our community organizations and building with the community, period. Trying to get this out to the public. Just what's going on. I know a lot of people understand that people are working for minimum wage, but I don't think they understand what along goes with it. Like, you know, having earned sick time, having being able to take care of your family if you need to, you know, take a couple of days off. So basically just getting it out into the community and working with Fight for 15 and some other community organizations with the 4/15 coming up. So I know that's a national day of action. So right now we just kind of want to focus on that and partnering with community organizations to get the word out about it.
That is awesome, and we are happy to help with that in any way, shape, or form that we can here at the Union Edge, because we love talking to our young activists and older activists and anybody across the spectrum that wants to hear it and wants to help, and we want to make sure everyone knows where they can go to help. So thank you so much for that. We're definitely excited to see where this progresses and moves in the future, and thanks for joining us today.
No problem. And if you all want to do, we're doing like simple social media things. So if you follow us on Twitter at 881UFTW or UFTW881, I'm sorry, and using the hashtag for more, tweet the pictures that they have from the Next Up Summit, you know, tag Kroger Company in them, tag My Food for Less in them, using the hashtag for more. So that's one way that everybody across everywhere can help us out with that.
Awesome. Well, that is so great. I will definitely be reposting that stuff on Twitter for everybody to go check out if you didn't see it and if you missed it here. Thanks for joining us, but we've got to run. I'm Brittany. Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Erica. See you soon.
So, Dave, we just talked to a bunch of different YWAC people about what's happening in their areas now that they're back from the Next Stop Summit, but we didn't actually talk about that with you. So what's going on in Pittsburgh?
What's going on in Pittsburgh? Well, a big thing, you know, where I want to try to do, and we were talking about it, actually, we were kind of talking about it with Chris Garlock a little bit, is and it's something that's been on my radar for a while. I want to really start getting kind of like a federation across all the unions, a young worker group started here in Pittsburgh. We've made a couple of informal efforts at getting something going and never gotten too far off the ground. So it's something I want to see us try to make more of a concerted effort toward creating. And other than that, really keeping up the momentum, you know, especially as far as the solidarity with the community. I mean, it was really great. Like we were just talking with Erica about how the community is rallying behind the work that we do, because when we have, you know, strong unions and a strong middle class, we uplift ourselves and uplifts those around us, and we build it from, we, you know, build good communities from the middle out. So, you know, just really keeping up the work that's going on. I'm really excited. We've got some things lined up with some of the constituency groups as well, like our local CBTU chapter. We've got elections coming up, so we're hoping to really get start working on some big projects and really just put the agenda of organized labor and good communities and just put it to work and put it into motion.
Sounds great. We got to run. We will talk to you again soon. I'm Angela Bachman here with Brittany Sheets on the United Lakers Talk Radio.